You'll open your Bibles to that passage in Luke chapter 11, and you may want to go ahead and mark the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at both of those. You've all experienced it, driving down the highway, especially if you're driving out west, and you see that long stretch of highway in front of you, and up in the distance, you see what looks like water shimmering across the pavement on a hot day. Or you'll look out, especially out west again, and you'll see out across a desert landscape and what looks like a large lake in the distance. We call those mirages. There's really no water there. It's only the appearance of water. A mirage is an optical illusion caused by light reflection off of the heat rising in a dry desert landscape. It's nothing but a fantasy. It's nothing but a hallucination. It's not real. Jesus here in Luke chapter 11 talks about such illusions caused not by the seeing eye, but by the blinded eye. Look again at this passage here in Luke chapter 11, beginning down in verse 33. He talks about a lamp that is placed in a prominent place to give light in a room. Now, I assume it's the same way in your house. Most of our light fixtures are centrally located. In every room of the house, when you go in and flip a switch, there's a central light there on the ceiling that gives light to that entire room. Now, we've got lamps additionally around the house, but we have central lights there. And without a good light, I tend to stub my toe when I walk around. I can't find what I'm looking for if there's not good light in a room. I can't read. My wife can't put on her makeup. I mean, there are all kinds of problems that go without good illumination in the places where we live. Now, look back for a moment, because Matthew gives us a fuller context. And one of the things that we've talked about in our study of Luke is looking at context. And that's especially true in the Gospels, because one Gospel writer will give illumination to what another says or perhaps doesn't say as clearly as we find in one of the others. Here in Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 19, Jesus makes the same statement about the eye and darkness, but he makes it in the context of where our treasure is. So here, let's begin in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Did you know that it is possible to become accustomed to living in darkness? With light all around us, there are those who choose to live in perpetual darkness. I remember reading years ago about miners in Wales who rarely ever saw the daylight. They got up in the morning when it was dark and they went down into the mines and they worked all day, only coming out after the sun had gone down and they were faced again with darkness. And this went on for years, never seeing the light of day. It's possible to become accustomed to living in darkness. And did you know that it is possible to become so accustomed to darkness that you actually prefer it to light? Again, I read about a group, there's a whole subculture who lives in New York City who hate the light of day. And they live and work at night because they prefer the darkness and they prefer the things that go on after the sun goes down. And so they sleep through the day and they live and work and party through the night. In John 1, John uses this imagery of light and darkness in describing the one who came into our world. He says there in John 1, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Later on, John gives the verdict about those who choose to live in darkness and who prefer the darkness, and he says it in legal terms. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That's the verdict. That's the reason. Those who live in darkness can come to prefer it, even though they can't see clearly, and even though they can't find what they're looking for, and even though they can't read and learn, and even though they can't see clearly where the path they're on is going to lead them. We just finished our sermon series on Judges on Sunday nights, and that whole period of time was a period of darkness in the history of Israel. And the telling phrase there was this: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no standard of correctness. You know, it's bad when a man is in darkness and knows that he is in darkness. But it is tragic when a man is in darkness and thinks he is in light. Jesus describes two situations, and they're polar opposites. Either you are in the light or you are in darkness. There are those who see things in the light of God's word and God's truth, and there are those who see what they think is true, but it's nothing but a mirage. Only two groups. Those who have the light, and because they have God's light, they can see things as they are. They can see things clearly. And then there are those who live in the kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan, who are blinded by sin and cannot find their way. Paul puts it this way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, the God of this age, you know who that is? That's Satan. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Let me give you some examples. God has placed within every human heart the desire for eternal life. That's a natural desire. Everyone, as we grow older in life, we begin to long for something that goes beyond what our body will allow. Ponce de Leon came to the Americas searching for the fountain of eternal life. You know, that's not an evil desire. That's a God-given desire. But there is one group of mankind who blindly follows a road in search of eternal life that is a dead-end road. It's become a multi-million-dollar business. Now, let me just tell you the truth. This is God's truth. It shouldn't depress us because it's God's truth. The truth is, we will all grow old and we will all die if this world goes on. Every one of us in this room today will all grow old. We'll all die. In the process, we will become wrinkled, and we'll become gray, and we'll become brittle, and we'll become diseased. Even though we have creams and dyes and surgeries, we will still grow old and die. You agree with that? Anybody that disagrees with that? That's true. We see it all around us. We don't like to talk about it, but it's true. And there are two groups in this world. There are the blind who try to achieve eternal life materially. And they spend fortunes trying to stay young. And they dress young, and they try to change their physical appearance to make themselves look young. They try to hang on to youth, whatever it costs them. And they still die. There's another group, though, who see through the light of God, and they grow old gracefully, knowing that God alone can give us new, eternal bodies. You know, there's another truth. For we can see clearly the difference between the blind and those who see in the light of God. There's another truth. You cannot take anything with you. Have we learned that truth? Yet people spend a lifetime acquiring and ensuring things that will all turn to ash in the end. Instead of the lifestyles of the rich and famous, it ought to be called the lifestyles of the rich and foolish. Did you know that not to want something is better than owning it, because you don't have to maintain it? There are two truths about riches. A rich man is a poor man when he tries to find satisfaction in his possessions. The wise man back in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 6, said the house of the righteous contains great treasure. And he's not talking about material goods. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings trouble. I know a lot of people, and you probably do too, who live in very modest circumstances, who have a far greater treasure than millionaires do. There's another truth about riches. A rich man is a poor man when he becomes a slave to his money, and that almost always happens when you live in darkness. Proverbs 23:4, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off into the sky like an eagle. Boy, money flies away. Even if you acquire it, you've got to spend time and effort and energy and worry in hanging on to what you've got, or it'll be gone. You can't take it with you. That is a truth. Now, we act like we don't believe it. And I look around me and I see little evidence of that belief in God's truth. You can't take it with you. Why do you work so hard and fight so long for something that is gone the moment you step across into eternity? No, it's true. You can't take it with you. But for those who walk in the light and live in the light, you can send it on ahead. That's what Jesus said. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves can't break in and steal, and where moth and rust don't corrupt. I know of a Christian man who made a fortune, became incredibly wealthy, and he used his money to be a blessing to all kinds of good things. Children's homes and Christian organizations and churches. And he gave away a fortune of money and still had so much. But later in life, for whatever reason, he lost his money. And God didn't replenish his personal fortune. He lost his money and was forced to live a very modest life for the remainder of his days. And he was asked more than once, don't you ever think about all that money that you gave away and where you might be today if you'd held on to it? He said, I think about it all the time, because that's all I have left. I gave that to God. And that will remain for eternity. What I lost, I couldn't have kept anyway. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's an Aramaic word for possessions or treasures. He says you can't serve these two things. He didn't say you shouldn't serve two masters or you ought not to serve two masters. He said it's an impossibility. You can't do it. And those who live in darkness believe you can hold on to both of them. Some Christians who have too much darkness in their lives believe you can hold on to both ends of the spectrum. Jesus says you can't. Light and darkness are opposites. Serving God and mammon are opposites. And the word that he uses here for master is the word kurios. It's the word Lord. You cannot have two lords. Only one Lord is possible. Either I spend my time and my energy here on this earth working for things that will not last, or I spend my time and my energy here on earth working for things that are eternal. Let me tell you, reading your Bible is not a waste of time. It is investment in eternity. Taking your precious time and doing what a whole group of ladies did in this church this week, preparing meals and serving meals for the family of Zelma Cox. That's not a waste of time. That is an investment in something that will last for all of eternity. I pity the parents who will spend a fortune educating their child and preparing their child only to make money and get ahead in this world. If you're not investing the knowledge of the Word of God in your children and in your grandchildren, it's not going to last. Only those things that are in the light of God's Word, that are invested in the generation to come, will last for all of eternity. Where did you spend your time this past week? What did you work hard for? Where is your focus? Is it just a mirage that is only an illusion? I'm so grateful that we're working in Ecuador now. And I'm so grateful for that Monta team, and we're praying for them, and they're making such great progress. But it was back in the 50s that the first missionaries went in to that country, and they went back into the jungles and served the Indians. And it was that martyred missionary, Jim Elliot, who after his death, when they opened the front of his Bible, they found what he had written there. No man is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. There was a fellow up in Ontario, Canada, who was a bit of a practical joker, and he had garbage regularly every week that he would either have to haul off or get rid of some other way. And so he found a novel way of getting rid of his garbage. He had apple boxes, cardboard apple boxes, and he bought reams of wrapping paper, and he would fill one of those apple boxes full of garbage, and he would wrap it up, put a bow on it, and set it out by the mailbox on the highway. And he said every time he did it, somebody would stop and see that box and pick it up, and they'd stick it in their car and take off. He got rid of a lot of garbage. And let me tell you, Satan wraps up garbage and it looks like the real thing. That's what Satan gives. But that is not what God gives. Listen to this as we close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into," and listen to this, "an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." Where are you investing your time? Are you allowing the light of God to come into your body and fill it? Are you living in that deceitful world of darkness? That's the question. This morning, we're going to sing this song that Jeff has announced for us. And if we can pray for you, if we can assist you in any way, we'll be glad to do that. Won't you come right now during the singing of this song?